What I want to do today is we're going to look at some things regarding regarding time. We're going to look at, this is not going to be a word study, but I want to take spend a little time considering some things in God's Word regarding time. It's a great study. If you know, take the time to look at the different words that are translated time or seasons, it really helps to get a perspective from God's Word, God's perspective on time. It's not really too dissimilar to how we use different words. We have different seasons of life, right? Absolutely. You know, we have some young kids, and that's a season of life. It's an awesome season of life. And you'll hear people who have been through that season of life say to you, enjoy it, because it doesn't last long, which is true. It really doesn't. It's gone very quickly. And so it's a season of life that you really want to enjoy and put your heart into. And it's a wonderful time. And we'll see that, you know, there are different seasons, while there are different seasons in our life, and there are changes that come with that, we are in a season of time in which we have amazing things available to us as sons of God. There were seasons previously to the season in which we live, where God made opportunity for people to know Him, to worship Him, but it was with a view to what ultimately He wanted to accomplish. So we're going to look at some of this today in the Word. There are some different words translated, time, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I did want to share this. One of the words that you're probably familiar with is, or some of you may be familiar with, is chronos. And it means, basically, it's a measure or a space of time, whether it's short or long. Okay, but it's a measure of time. There's a word, a Greek word, and it's hora. It's spelled H-O-R-A. And it's many times translated hour. And it's used literally and figuratively. Okay? But it means time. An example might be where Jesus Christ, He healed a young boy, and it says, and he was healed from that hour, from that very hour. That means that point in time at which Jesus Christ healed him, the boy was healed. Okay? So it's literal. He was healed from that moment. Another place where it's used is in John 17, where Jesus Christ opens his prayer with, Father, my hour has come. And it's a little bit more figurative in that use. It's the time which he would give himself over to be sacrificed had come, and to glorify God, and the time in which God would glorify him by raising him from the dead. But that's the time that was there. So my hour has come. Do you see that? How it's used? It's just kind of neat to see some of that stuff. There's another word that we're going to spend most of our time with, and it's the word, it's pronounced kairos, and it's K-A-I-R-O-S. And it is an opportunity, or it's a season. It's the right time. It's translated opportunity. It's translated season. It's kind of interesting because Chronos, I want to share this too, Chronos is also translated season. But when Chronos is translated season, it is primarily concerned with the amount of time of that season. When Kairos is translated season, it is concerned with the characteristics of that season that make that season up. Do you understand that? They're both used. As a matter of fact, we might turn there in a few minutes. I'll save that one. But I wanted to look at Matthew chapter 8 real quick. And we're just going to look at a few examples of this. But this is the first place where this word kairos or season is used. Matthew 8. This is the record. We'll read verse 28. And when he, Jesus Christ, was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, two men, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, and these were the devils in these two men that cried out, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come thither to torment us before the time? Isn't that something? One, there's much you can learn from this. One, they recognized who Jesus Christ is. Two, they also knew that there is a time coming, a season coming, when they will be tormented from that time, that hour, forward. Isn't that something? And it's Jesus Christ that is going to set that. And so this is what they're asking. Are you come to torment us before the season? Kind of a neat use of that word. But it's in reference to a future time. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. This is a verse that most of you are familiar with. Acts chapter 1. This was the day or the time when Jesus Christ would ascend. And he's together with his apostles. And when they were come together in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is a future time. There is a time when Israel will be restored, when all that's been promised will be brought to pass. But that was not the concern here. So verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Okay? The times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power or authority. The word times is the word chronos. And it's the length of times. See? Seasons is kairos, which emphasizes the characteristics of those times. See? Sometimes this comes up with people. You have a season where Jesus Christ will bring judgment. That's a season. That's a characteristic of that season. And then people will say, well, how long does that last? See? And what Jesus Christ is telling these men, neither one is your concern right now. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Now, he had taught them about some of the things that were going to come in the future. See, and there is a time when Israel will be restored, but for right now, see, right now, that's not what we're concerned about. Kind of neat to understand that. I want to read this one in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Jesus Christ is speaking in this record to some of the religious leaders of his day. Let's start in verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees typically weren't exactly friends. It's amazing how they come together with some of this stuff, though. And he answered, Jesus Christ answers and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times, see, of this season. Isn't that something? A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. See, they came tempting him. They didn't believe he was the Christ. They didn't recognize who he was. They didn't recognize anything. And yet this is everything that the scriptures had pointed to. See, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. And so he said, there's one sign going to be given you, and that's a sign of the prophet Jonah. And we know from the word that Jonah was dead for 3 days and three nights, and God raised him from the dead. See, and that would be the sign that was given. But it is a mark of unbelief to not recognize, see, the signs of the time or of the season as laid out in the Word of God. Let's go to let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is another familiar one. You know, in Luke 18, there's a use. I'm going to read it to you. Just keep going to Romans 8. I thought of this, and I want to... you're familiar with this one, I think. This is the record, verse 28 of Luke chapter 18. It says, Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time or in this present season, and in the world or in the age to come, life everlasting. That me? Here in this verse, this life, our life, is referred to as a season. And it also mentions an age to come. That age to come where it'll be everlasting life or eternal life. That's a future time. The age in which you and I live is referred to as an evil age. It's a dark age. It's an age that we're not to be conformed to. This age in which you and I live began with the fall of Adam. And what we're going to read here in Romans 8 is that this age in which there are seasons, okay, is an age that is subjected to a hope. And when that time comes, and there is a set time, this age will come to an end. So, what did I say? Romans 8? Romans 8. Again, familiar scripture. Let's pick it up in verse 18. All right, we got to read. Let's read 16. Oh, let's read 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this present season, it's the word kairos, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation or the intense yearning of the creation is waiting for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. See? For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope or upon a hope. So there are sufferings in this present time, in this present season. But we're also getting a little glimpse here into this present season, which is that we are sons of God. We cry, Abba, Father. And that the sufferings or the things that are endured in this present time aren't worthy to be compared with what is going to be revealed at a future time. As a matter of fact, the whole creation is waiting upon that time. Now, let's go to Romans 13. In this verse that we're going to read, both the words kairos and the words hora, which is our, you remember that, are used. Romans 13, verse 11. It says, and that, knowing the time. This word time is that word kairos. It's season. It's a time or a season which is characterized by a unique opportunity, which is what this is preceded by. We're part of that one body. Isn't that something? We're part of the one body. We're redeemed. No condemnation. All these things precede this by what Jesus Christ did. See? We just read in Romans 8, the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Romans 12 lays out how we're to conduct ourselves in this one body. The deliverance that's ours. We're members one of another. Right? We love without hypocrisy. Just prior to this, love works no ill to his neighbor. And it says in verse 11, and that knowing the time, the season, that it is now the hour to awake out of sleep. See? For now is our deliverance nearer than when we believed. The way this is used, this hour, it's now is the hour. It's almost too late. This is the season. Now you wake up. We're going to see a little bit more of this. And as we look at this in God's word, there is an urgency here. There's an urgency that's communicated to the son and daughter of God. There's an urgency of the time because this time is coming to an end. And while our lives are short, our lives are a vapor, what God desires is that our lives, or that short time that we have here, is not insignificant. And that we redeem that time, that we spend that time alert, that we spend that time awake and aware of the season. We're not among the unbelievers who are oblivious or blind to the signs of the season. And the season in which you and I live is that season where we are sons of God with spirit. Isn't that something? Where grace is the overriding characteristic. We're going to see that in just a moment. Is the overriding characteristic of this season that we are to be awake to. And then we'll see in a minute what it is to be awake to grace. Kind of jumped ahead of myself here. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are by no means looking at all the uses. There are some great things that we're not taking time to look at with this word. But we're looking at some pretty cool stuff. 1 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I believe I meant 2 Corinthians. Give me a moment. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I somehow typed exclamation point Corinthians. I'm not sure how I did that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1 opens, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." See? It's kind of neat because it starts out with being workers together with who? With God. Because of what Christ has done and because of who we are in Christ, we get to be workers with God. When we walk by that new nature and walk by that spirit, we carry out God's purposes. You know, many times people approach this where, you know, we want God to carry out our purpose. That doesn't work. God's the prime mover. So we're workers together with God. And then it says, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And the grace of, to receive the grace of God, that unmerited favor, and all that comes with God, what God has blessed us with by grace, the gift by grace, would be to do nothing with it. Would be to live and act as if there were no grace. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a great... As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15... Verse 10. Verse 9, I'm going to read first. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not qualified, not meet, not qualified to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He persecuted Jesus Christ. He persecuted the body of Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that grace which was bestowed upon me, or his grace which was bestowed upon me, was not in what? Vain. Was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the what? The grace of God which was with me. See? The grace of God. So when Paul had a need in making known God's word, did God supply that need? Absolutely. When Paul needed wisdom, did he get it? Absolutely. He labored more abundantly, but it was by grace. It was by grace. He didn't receive the grace of God in vain. And that's what, here in 2 Corinthians, these saints are being encouraged. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Then it says, verse 2, and this is where it speaks to the urgency of the time. It says in verse 2, for he says, and this is from Isaiah 49, which we're going to turn to. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, have I strengthened you. Okay, that's what's quoted from Isaiah 49. Then it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, or now is the day of deliverance. It's now. Now. Now, let's go to Isaiah 49 real quick, and we're going to read this. It's kind of neat to see this. Chapter 49, verse 1, it says, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. Now, what we're reading here is regarding that Messiah, the Christ. Okay? That's what we're reading here. And it opens with, you know, you isles, and it's Gentiles. Listen up. Okay? The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. It's really... That's a pretty awesome figure. You know, the authority in the world is backed up by weapons. Bottom line. The Messiah, the Christ, his authority would be backed up by words. His words. Isn't that something? See? Where his mouth would be, his words would be as a sharp sword. No weapons needed to back it up. Pretty awesome. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel. Now, O Israel is put here for the Messiah, for the Christ. In whom I will be glorified. Verse 4. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Now this is one of those verses where what is being spoken is what it appeared as. What it looked like. When Jesus Christ, when it was all done, who stood with him?
God.
That was it. Everybody else was gone. Everybody else left. See, that's what it looked like. But watch this. It's not where it ends. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Really, it should read, and now says the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel might be gathered. Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, you know what? That's a light thing. It's a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. That's nothing. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and arise. Men will despise you, but the time will come when he's glorified, when kings will stand up in honor. Something. See? Kings shall see thee and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of deliverance have I helped thee, and I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Isn't that something? He would give him as the covenant. Jesus Christ would do this. He would take it all on. He would bear the sins of all mankind as a covenant. See? And God would give him as that covenant so that men could be reconciled back to him. And what it's saying in Corinthians is, don't receive the grace of God in vain. All that God has done in Jesus Christ, the opportunity that we have in this season to work with God, to walk with God, to help bring God's purposes to pass. You just be aware of the time. Be aware of the season in which we live. Be aware of what has been dropped in our laps. Either you use or not use, but we have the opportunity to do it. See? And that's what it's talking about in Romans. Wake up. It's time. It's time. This is it. This is coming to an end. I want you to turn to, we're almost done here. Right? We're not going to get through all this. But in Romans 3, I'm just going to share some of this. In Romans 3, one of the characteristics of this season in which we live is that it's his righteousness that's been made known. And it's his righteousness that's being made known as we speak the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So it's his righteousness that is a quality of this season in which we are part of. See? In Ephesians 5, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. This is one you're familiar with. Shared this at the marriage weekend and sort of neat to see it. Ephesians 5. This, of course, follows on the heels of what comes before it. 5:1 opens with being imitators of God. Verse 2 is walk in love. Then verse 3, 4, 5 talk about the works of darkness, the works of the flesh, see, that have nothing to do with God, have nothing to do with love. And then there's that's contrasted with light, because we're children of what?
Light.
We're children of light, so we put off those works of darkness. See? And then it comes down to that we walk circumspectly or accurately, and that accuracy is based on what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, and the time in which we live as sons of God, as children of light. And it says, verse 15, or verse 14, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, sound familiar? And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk accurately, circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise. And biblically, the fool is likened to those who don't know God's word or reject God's word. That's the fool. He walks by his own wits, his own heart, his own ways, his own thinking. That's the fool. We're not to walk as fools. We're to walk as what?
Wise.
And the wise are those who believe God's word, who know God's word, who walk according to God's word. Isn't that something? It's really that simple. Then it says, redeeming the time because the days are what?
Evil.
See? And that redeeming the time, this word time is that word kairos, it's season. See, this season that we have, we don't have time for the works of darkness. We don't have time. We buy up the time that we have, which is short. See? And we utilize that time as one who knows God's will. See? As one who understands God's will. So when it comes to living in life and the different seasons that we have in our lives, you know, you moms, you've got these kids. That's a season of life. See? But treat it being aware and awake to the season that we are in. See? And you walk with God with those kids. See that? You put your heart into it. You walk with God. The Spirit of God works in you. You make known His word. Isn't that something? That's how we treat it. Then you get older and you don't have kids. There are other ways of giving in light of this season in which we live. But it's always walking in love. It's being aware of who we are. It's being aware of what our end is. Because this is a really short time. And it is coming to an end. And we have such an amazing opportunity. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6, or just maybe you don't have to turn there because we're already in 5. But I wanted to read this. I love this. This is another way or another description or a part of what this season looks like to us. And it's after that great section beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This praying always is praying at all times or through all seasons, all opportunities. Isn't that something? We pray in the Spirit. See? Through everything that we do. That's one of the great things about this season that we have. We have this leverage of prayer in the Spirit, intercession. Isn't that something? So that's part of what this is, to wake up and to be awake in the season in which we live. See, knowing that it's high time, the hour is almost here, man. See, it's almost ending. There are other scriptures that really communicate the urgency of time. It shows up in 1 Corinthians 7. The Corinthians had questions about, you know, marriage and this and the cultural stuff. And, you know, and Paul, boy, it's just beautiful how he addresses these different questions about marriage. And you know, if you're married, if you're unmarried, then you... But it all boils down to, look. We ain't got much time, you know? So don't seek these other things. Don't think the other guy's got it better. Don't put all your stock in this time. But serve. Isn't that neat? But it's that urgency. That's God's viewpoint. And it's really, I don't think of it much differently as when I say, you know, to one of my kids, man, enjoy this because it's going to go like that. See, that's how I hear this when God says it's short. See, He knows. Sometimes when you're in it, it doesn't seem like it. Especially when you're young. Right? You're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. See? But that's just part of it. But we can walk with the wisdom of God. That would be foolish thinking, right? And we've all been guilty of that, right? But we have God's word. See? And we're among those who are aware of what God says regarding this time in which we live. So, pretty neat. Colossians 4, and then we're going to close in Peter. Colossians 4. Here's another quality of this season, this present time in which we live. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without or outside, redeeming the time. There's in Galatians this word is used, and it's translated opportunity. And it says to be especially good under the household of faith. To be good toward all men, and especially good under the household of faith as you have opportunity. That's that word for season, that kairos. Here it's redeeming that time, that season. And we are walking in wisdom toward all. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And I'll tell you something, just without spending a lot of time here, that tongue being seasoned with salt, knowing how you ought to answer to every man, really speaks to the heart. It speaks to what you're feeding your heart, what I'm feeding my heart. And the tongue is a critical thing. When it comes to walking with wisdom in this season in which we have. So. And again, speaks to what am I feeding my heart? How am I taking care of my heart? Yeah. Because that old tongue's real hard to control. If you don't have the right stuff in your heart, it's pretty simple. And let's go to 1 Peter, and that's where we'll stop. 1 Peter. First Peter 1. It's a verse you're familiar with too, but I just wanted to read this. I love this. I'm going to start in verse 3 just for fun. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath borned us again, begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Remember the sign of Jonas? "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept or guarded by the power of God through believing unto or for a salvation or a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time." That's something. That time is coming. When Jesus Christ will be revealed, and then when we are revealed with him. And we are fast approaching that time. In Romans, that day is nearer than when we first believed. It's almost too late. See? So we walk in light of that. You know, this word for season or kairos, it's used in Hebrews 11. And it speaks regarding those people who looked for an inheritance from God. And it says that had they been mindful of the country out of which they came, they would have had opportunity or a season to return. Had they been aware, had they thought about, had they calculated, had they done all those things out of where they came, a season would have presented itself for them to have returned. But they didn't. They kept their eyes on that inheritance that would come from God. See? Isn't that something? So they moved in that direction. See? And what God says to those people is, the world was not worthy of them. See? Isn't that something? But there's going to be a day coming when they're going to stand in the presence of God. See? And that time is very near. Very near. So you and I have this great opportunity to just walk, to grow, to love God, speak His Word, you know, and don't get all hung up on yourself. Yeah. We don't have time. Okay? Don't condemn yourself. You don't have time. We just don't have time. Might as well just believe what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and what the Word says, right?
Right.
Just believe that. That's all we got time for. All right? So amen?
Amen.
All right.